Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So, economic lesson here. Did, or call it a quiz. Did banks make irresponsible bets on mortgage-backed securities and then try to get out of a plummeting housing market ahead of everyone else, leaving homeowners and taxpayers holding the bag? Did mysterious derivatives like credit default swaps hide the extent of the credit problem and amplify the pain when things fell apart in 2008? Is the decline long-term in U.S. manufactured exports to the rest of the world a sign of this country's economic weakness? And are the top earners in the U.S. holding precious resources that could help the economy in the form of taxes to fund important programs for the bottom 20% of earners? Well, if you answered no to any of those questions, you would be inviting an argument with anyone who buys the conventional wisdom on the nature of the economic predicament in the U.S. But if you answered no to all of those questions, perhaps it's because you're reading Unintended Consequences, the provocative new book by Edward Conard, the former managing director of Bain Capital, who joins us now. Edward Conard, good morning and welcome to the program.
John, thank you for having me.
Let's take the last one first. Now, you have been widely quoted as saying that you think risk takers at the very, very top of the economy, the top earners, are the engine that really drives the economy. Let me just slightly rephrase it and get an explanation from you. At the income disparities that we're seeing right now, how is your argument different from what, say, feudal kings and princes would tell subjects hundreds of years ago that we're taking care of you, don't worry, we've got everything under control here?
I would say we live in a very different economy than we did then and than we did in the 1950s. Today, 13 guys and a computer in 2 years can create $1 billion of value. So we have very much shifted from landowners who controlled all the means of production to from large corporations that really generated the growth in the 1950s to entrepreneurs and innovators today who are really mining the gold that drives our economy forward.
Why are the rewards so outsized in this era when so much of the growth took place back in the 50s where there weren't these kinds of salaries and rewards?
Well, if we make a comparison of the 1950s, we were capitalizing on the value of cars, for example. We had to build a huge manufacturing industry. We had to pave 1 million miles of roads. We had to put a worldwide oil industry in place. We had to build 250 million cars. That was really the era of large-scale economies of scale, large capital investments in order to drive our economy. It's a very different set of investment opportunities today. And that set is a very rich set, and it's a very unmined set of opportunities today. We're actually lucky to have the set of opportunities we have today relative to the ones that we had in the 50s, given the other circumstances we face in the world, like a surplus of cheap labor.
Edward Conard is my guest, former managing director at Bain Capital, author of the book Unintended Consequences, Why Everything You've Been Told About the Economy is Wrong. Let's talk about exports for a moment. It's long been described by politicians that a long-term decline in manufacturing exports from the U.S. to the rest of the world is a sign of our economic malaise. You turn that argument around and say, no, actually a decline in exports is a sign of an investment opportunity here in the United States. Can you explain that?
Sure. You have to think about the trade deficit in terms of the long term versus the short term. So let's talk about the long term for a second. We can't close our borders to exports and expect our economy not to grow increasingly or to imports and not expect our economy to grow increasingly uncompetitive. So we can't make for $20 what we can buy for a dollar. Why? Because we lose the opportunity to take the $19 and put that to work in other ways, largely in our domestic service economy, which includes doctors and teachers and carpenters and truck drivers and waitresses. And so we can't afford to forego that $19. If we do, we'll gradually grow uncompetitive over time.
All right. So it makes no sense for us to make things here that can be bought much cheaper overseas. But are we investing that in sustainable long-term businesses, or are we simply sort of churning in the financial markets to get a quarterly return?
Well, I don't think the financial markets churning in the financial market certainly doesn't create the kind of asset growth that we've seen, the kind of productivity growth we've seen, the 40 million people that we've employed since the mid-1980s, the growth rates that the U.S. have seen relative to the rest of the world. So one of the arguments that the book makes is that there's a lot of hidden investment in our economy, largely in the form of people who are thinking about the future. All those investments are being expensed, not capitalized, because we have a manufacturing-based accounting system which only recognizes plant and equipment and the software to a certain extent and other very limited forms of human capital as investment. So I make an argument in the book that we're investing substantially more than other high-wage economies, and that we are not a consumer-oriented economy. We're actually an investment-oriented economy. It's just that the nature of the investments have changed, and we haven't recognized them yet.
And we're not measuring them appropriately, is one of the arguments you make in Unintended Consequences. All right, before we go, this is a slightly technical piece here. You argue that the derivatives market, that opaque, insane, gigantic sort of casino that it's often described as in the investment community, actually does help to spread risk around. It doesn't create opportunities for people to, say, bail on the housing industry and get out before everybody else.
Yes, I do make that argument. I think everybody believes that the banks were crippled by the losses on subprime mortgages. But in fact, institutional investors withdrew their money from the banking system long before the homeowners defaulted, and the homeowner defaults have been much lower than were expected in the middle of the crisis. And so what happens is everybody wakes up in 2009 and recognizes that there is enormous damage from the risk of withdrawals. And we have dialed down our risk-taking to compensate for that, the risk of that damage. And as a result, our economy has slowed and unemployment has increased. And we have to mitigate that risk if we want to get back to the growth we enjoyed before the financial crisis.
Right. It was a run on the banks, not so much failure of the mortgages. All right, before we go, why write this book? You don't necessarily need the money.
Well, the book does make an argument that talented people have a moral obligation to take risk as a way to make a contribution to society, and I felt that obligation, felt that I had something to say, and that it was important for me to say it.
All right, Edward Conard, we're grateful that you chose to tell us your argument on this program. Edward Conard is former managing director of Bain Capital, author of Unintended Consequences. Thanks so much.
John, thank you.